Luke chapter 1, please. Luke chapter 1 and verse number 26. And when you found that text, please stand with me as I read verses 26 through 38. Luke chapter 1, 26 through 38. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end.
Amen.
Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God.
Amen.
And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible.
Amen.
And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege to open the word of God today and to speak the word of God today. Help us, Lord, in our human frailty to magnify the precious name of Jesus, we pray, in His holy name. And all God's people said, Amen. Please be seated. I want us to think about the name of Jesus this morning. The greatest expression of God's love is all wrapped up in the name of Jesus. You know, many people today repeat the name of Jesus without respect or reverence. Isn't that right? They say it when they're angry. They say it sometimes foolishly. Many take the name of the Lord in vain today.
Amen.
And yet His name was divinely chosen. That means chosen by God. You know, our parents named us. We're stuck with that handle. You may like it, you may not like it. Some people change their names when they become of age for whatever reason. My parents named me after a comedian, believe it or not. I got stuck with the handle of Stephen Allen. And if you're old enough, you may remember Steve Allen. And in any event, I don't mind it because most people don't know who he is now anyway. But Jesus was divinely, a name given by divine authorship. And it was given by God to Mary. And His name, you think about it, is more familiar on earth than any other name that has ever been made up. His name has been the subject of countless sermons. You know, I was doing a little addition of all the years that I've been in the ministry, the different places I've been, the schools I've taught at, just trying to find out how many times that I have spoken, given a Bible study or a sermon, and I've come up with just several thousand times. But you know, His name has been the subject of countless sermons and books and poems and songs and paintings than any other name. I mean, you cannot count all the times that His name has been mentioned in these things. It's in His name that we have life. Without the name of Jesus, we wouldn't be here this morning enjoying physical life or even the hope of eternal life for those that receive Him. In His name we have freedom. We've got liberty. And we have the capacity for happiness just because of the name of Jesus. If there were no Jesus, there'd be no happiness anywhere. And so the name of Jesus means very little to many people, but you know what? It means a lot to me.
Amen.
And I hope it means a lot to you.
Amen.
In Luke chapter 9, if you just turn over a couple pages, Luke chapter 9 and verse 26, "For whosoever shall be ashamed of me," Jesus said. You find it, verse 26? "Whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels." That's a pretty sobering verse of Scripture, isn't it?
Amen.
If you're ashamed of me, Jesus said, and my words, I'll be ashamed. God will be ashamed of you. No wonder Paul said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Do you know baptism is a way of showing the Lord that we are not ashamed of Him?
Amen.
To be identified with Him in His death, burial, and His resurrection. We need to magnify His name more than we do. To magnify means to make it larger. You ever look through a magnifying glass? Some of you, when you lose your glasses, you might have a magnifying glass on the table, right? What does it do? It makes those words bigger. We need to magnify the name of Jesus.
Amen.
To spread His name, enlarge it, to spread it near and far. And I'd like to just share with you a few reasons why that we should magnify the name of Jesus. First of all, because it's the only name of eternal salvation. In Mark chapter 1, please. Mark chapter 1 and verse 21. Mark chapter 1 and verse 21. "And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day He entered into the synagogue and He taught." And He taught about Himself. In Acts chapter 10 and verse number 43, I'll just read these words. You can listen or turn there or write down. Acts chapter 10 verse 43, "To Him gave all the prophets witness that through His name, whosoever believeth in Him shall receive remission of sins." Through the name of Jesus. It's the only name given among men whereby we must be saved.
Amen.
No other name can wash away our sins.
Amen.
No other name can write our name in heaven. No other name can get us from earth, planet earth, to the presence of God to be with Him forever. No prophet can do that. No minister can do that. No king can do that. No religious leader can do that. It matters not how many times someone says, "Oh Lord, hear our prayer." I cannot pray you into heaven after you're dead. Amen? I can't do it. I wish I had that power, but I don't. And yet some people think that they can do that. But there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. After you've passed away, you're either in one or two places. That's it. All the praying in the world doesn't move you from those places. Doesn't matter how many times we might say, "Oh Lord, hear our prayer," in a special memorial service. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord for those that believe in Him. Trusting in His name alone is all sufficient. And it's His name that opens the heart of God to sinners like you and me. And I want to magnify His name because it's the only name given among men whereby there is eternal salvation. And I also want us to magnify His name because it is a name of safety. Please look at Acts chapter 10 this morning. Acts chapter 10, verse number 43. "To Him give all the prophets witness, and through His name, whosoever believeth in Him shall receive remission of sins," as we read before.
Amen.
His name. releases us from the penalty of sin. The power of His name is a place of safety. The prophet Isaiah said concerning about our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, "And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land." Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. And is He not a rock in a weary land? He's the one we go to when we have trouble. He's the one to go to when we have trials. He's the one to go to when things seem out of sort. He's the one we go to when things get a little crazy. Does your life get a little crazy sometimes? Or is it just mine? Doesn't life get you a little crazy at times? Do you ever have those days where your head is spinning? Amen? Your schedule's interrupted and it's just one thing after another. You have those hectic days. Amen. And Jesus is a rock in a weary land. And He's my rock that I go to. I hope He's yours as well. In His name there's safety from turmoil and the troubles of life. Turmoil means restlessness, uneasiness, confusion, excitement. And life can be that way at times. Some days are confusing. Some days are restless. There are times where we have a lot of excitement and things happen rapidly. It's good to know that Jesus is a rock in those times for us as well. But you know, people without Christ in their life, they have a crisis every day. Every day is a crisis and they have nowhere to turn to for help. And yet the Lord is there waiting for their prayer, waiting for them to call upon His name so He could be a Savior to them also. Our rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, is unchangeable. We say He's immutable. That means without change. He never changes. He's always the same. And we can always believe in His words. Every generation has had people that have believed on the name of Jesus. You think about that. All through the generations since the cross, people have been calling on the name of Jesus and He's been helping them. And so this morning, you know, we have the same God that Elijah had. We have the same God that Moses had. We have the same God that the Apostle Paul had and Jonah as well. He is the same God of the Bible that we have and worship. Young people, when hopefully your parents shelter you from the turmoils of life as much as they can. But always remember, Jesus cares about you. He can be trusted. You know, friends in life at times can fail you. Others can disappoint you. But Jesus never fails. Isn't that right? We can talk to Him every day. We can let Him walk beside us. During our day, He's there. He's at our side. He goes with us to work. He's with us at the plant. He's with us wherever we go. Amen. When we're in our car, He's with us. Yes, He even drives alongside trucks. Amen. Or motorcycles, wherever you are, whatever you're riding. Now, you really need Him if you're on a motorcycle. Amen?
Amen.
He is there. He's with us. He said, "I'll never leave you or forsake you." And thank God He kept that dreadful appointment on Calvary for us. That appointment where He took upon Him the sins of the world that day on the cross, where He cried, my God, why do You forsake Me?" And He became the penalty. He took our sin upon Himself on the tree so that you and I could be reunited with God through the gift of Jesus Christ. Thank God that Jesus loves sinners. Thank God He came into this world not only to die for our sins, but to live for us and to send the Comforter that may abide with us forever, His Holy Spirit. And so His name is a place of safety. It's a place of salvation. And His name is a name of great satisfaction. I'd like you to look in the Old Testament, the book of Psalms, please. Psalm 107. To be satisfied We tell people that Jesus satisfies. Look at verse number 8. This whole chapter is a chapter of praise that David gives. Praise to the Lord. Psalm 107. Notice verse 8. He says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." It's an exaltation for men, women, boys, and girls to praise the name of Jesus because of His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Notice verse 9. "For He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness." Isn't that true? And in this chapter, if you'll notice, let's look at verse number 15. He says over and over again, to bring home a point. Verse 15, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men."
Amen.
Look at verse 21. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men."
Amen.
Verse 31. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men." You go all the way back to the beginning of the chapter, verse number 1. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever."
Amen.
This chapter records all the reasons why the psalmist wanted to praise the Lord, and he exalted others to praise the Lord. And several times he repeats the same verse of Scripture to exhort us. And he says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness." If we could only learn to do that, we'd be happier. Amen. We've almost lost the amen corner in our churches, where our hearts are filled with joy and we just have to say, "Amen."
Amen.
Praise God. I can remember a time when we'd even hear a hallelujah or a glory to God. Someone just can't contain the joy that they feel. They'd even stand up and say, "Praise Jesus."
Amen.
But we're living in days where our hearts are sad. We're living in days where we are going through challenges and trials. But you know, we can still have the joy of the Lord. And I believe the psalmist, if he could speak this morning, he would say, "Oh, members of Community Baptist Church, oh, that you men and women and boys and girls, oh, that you would praise His name for His goodness. Just think about how good He is, no matter what you're going through, and for His wonderful works in your life, and all the things He's taken you through, and all the blessings He's sent your way. Thank Him and praise Him, and you'll see what great things will happen." Amen?
Amen.
Just listen to the words of Isaiah. He says, "His name satisfied God," Isaiah 53:9, "and He made His grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." Isaiah was talking about the coming of Christ and how that his offering and atonement for sin would satisfy the demands of a holy, righteous God. And God would look on that blood sacrifice on the cross and be satisfied. You and I are saved today because of the price being paid. Amen.
Amen.
He has paid it all. Jesus paid it all. "All to Him I owe. Sin hath left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow."
Amen.
And so in the eyes of God, through the miracle of the new birth and the atoning blood of Jesus, Jesus can look at us as if we had never sinned. God can look at us as if we had never sinned because it was put aside and nailed to the cross. What a wonderful miracle. Yes, we need to magnify His name because of not only it's a satisfying name, but it's a sweet name. First Peter chapter 2, please. First Peter 2, 7. Peter, the fisherman, learned a lot about the Lord. He learned how to walk on water. He learned that it's bad to curse and swear. He learned that it's bad to deny the Lord, and God can break your heart if you deny the Lord, if you're a believer. He could teach us what it means to be restored, to come back to the Lord from backsliding. But notice in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 7, he says these words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Unto you therefore which believe, he is what?
Precious.
Precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling. The world today is stumbling over the name of Jesus.
Amen.
But to you and I that have received Jesus, He is precious.
Amen.
He is precious. Jesus is precious not only to us, but He's precious to the Father and to all that believe upon Him. You know, it's interesting that this Bible verse, it just makes a statement. It doesn't say how precious. It just says, unto you which believe, He is precious.
Amen.
And I believe that it states that simple fact because no pen or tongue can tell us how precious it is. There have been hymns written about it. If I could use the sky as a scroll, that wouldn't even be enough to say how precious the name of Jesus is. And so, the Bible just says precious, but not how precious. Because it's more than our tongue could tell. It is more than we could possibly write about. We couldn't still explain how precious His name is.
Amen.
And so He's precious. Is He precious to you this morning? Does His name, is it precious to you? If someone uses it in vain around you, does it give you tingles? Amen? That's a witness that the Holy Spirit is with you when it bothers you when people take His name in vain. And so, He's either precious to you or you're still stumbling over that name. The Bible says that He is a rock of offense to those that stumble upon Him. But to those that receive Him, He's precious. I'm glad He's precious to me. I'm glad I don't stumble over Him anymore.
Amen.
I'm glad that I've stopped running from Him. You know, unsaved people run from God. They do all they can to ignore Him. They do all they can to stay away from the people of God even. And so they try to outlaw all the things that we believe and that hold sacred and precious. Amen? Boy, it's getting harder to enjoy your Christianity out in the world. Everybody has rights except the Christian. Amen? Can't celebrate Christmas. Can't say Merry Christmas. Can't, you know, it's getting to the point where, you know, if you sneeze, somebody's going to get a ticket by saying, God bless you. Brother Ray Dombeck he's funny. He's quite a character from Mississippi. And I got to know him a little bit better this year. We spent some time together. And he's amazed at how many ways people can get tickets in New Jersey. He says, you mean to tell me that if I park my car here past a certain hour, I'm going to get a ticket? Well, he's a believer now. He got a ticket. He called up the Carlstead Police Department and tried to plead his case. He said, I'm from Mississippi. I'm visiting. I don't know about all these rules. I moved my car so your street sweeper wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't get in the way, so I moved on the other side of the street and I got a ticket for parking there overnight. Oh, give me a break. Can you picture him? I can picture him saying that. He said, well, just give me a break. And of course, you know, on the phone, no breaks. He said, I'm never coming back to your town again. I'll tell you. I'm so glad that Jesus is no longer a stumbling block to us. Amen?
Amen.
When we embrace Him, we can rely upon Him. He is precious. Or a stumbling block. Jesus is the name of honor. You can ask. I wish we could talk to people in the Bible that we've read about. In John chapter 8, let's just turn there quickly. It's a name of honor. Just ask this woman taken in adultery in John chapter 8. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning He came again into the temple, and all the people came unto Him and sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto Him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto Him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. You know, I've always thought, why didn't they bring the guy also? Huh? They didn't, did they? Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? This they said, tempting Him, that they might have to accuse Him. But Jesus stooped down, and with His finger wrote on the ground as though He heard them not. So when they continued asking Him, He lifted up Himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her. First, cast a stone at her. And again He stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up Himself and saw none but the woman, He said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more.
Amen.
Jesus is the name of honor. We could ask that woman, I'm sure she would come here today and say, Jesus is the name of honor. He forgave me. We could ask one of the lepers in Luke chapter 17 about the name of Jesus. In Luke chapter 17, a familiar story in verse number 12, where 10 lepers are cleansed and one came back to return to give glory unto God. He would tell us that Jesus is the name of honor. Luke chapter 17 and verse number 12. And as He entered into a certain village, there met Him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us. And when He saw them, He said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. You know what's interesting to me? That obedience always brings a blessing. They had to do what He said in order to be healed. It is as they obeyed His words and as they obeyed His voice, the blessing of God came.
Amen.
I'll tell you what, obeying God always brings a blessing.
Yes.
And so does obeying your parents. Amen?
Amen.
All right, parents, that was just a little extra, all right? This is free. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. He was a Samaritan. And Jesus, that means he was a mixed race of people. The Samaritans had no dealings with the Jews normally. The Jews did not like the Samaritans. They had personal issues between the races. And when he realized that even as a Samaritan, he was healed of his leprosy by a Jew named Jesus, he glorified the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In verse 17, and Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? They're not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Yes, Jesus is the name of honor. We could ask this man, this leper who came. He came to give back glory to God. He returned to worship. He returned to serve. the Lord all the days of His life because of His goodness. We could ask blind Bartimaeus about the name of Jesus being a name of honor, and a host of others that the name of Jesus is sweet to. Yes, His name is sweet this morning. Is it sweet to you today? Do you love to sing to Him? Do you love to lift up your voice in praises to the Lord? Lastly, Jesus is the name of supreme power. In Philippians, the Bible says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him, and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth." One day every person is going to bow their knees to the name of Jesus and the person of Jesus, according to the Bible. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17, thinking about the power of Jesus, Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all." Jesus is a name of power. And lastly, in Revelation chapter 19, speaking about the name of Jesus being a name of power, in verses 11 through 16, our Bible says these words through John, who was given a vision of things to come. He was able to see into the future, the very thing that we're to read about right now. "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and He that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness He doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on His head were many crowns. And He had a name written that no man knew but Himself. And He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and His name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed Him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of His mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and He shall rule them with a rod of iron. And He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And He hath on His vesture and on His thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." You know, Jesus is coming back to this earth one day. He's not coming back as the meek and mild Jesus. He's coming back to take charge. Amen? Yes. One day His name is going to be exalted all over the earth. Thank God for Jesus. Someone has written a poem about trying Jesus when all else fails. Are you feeling down and out? Try Jesus. Heavy laden with fear and doubt? Try Jesus. Never you mind uproar and din. He can wash away your sin. He will show you how to win. Try Jesus. In your dark, in yourself so dark and still, try Jesus. If your life's a fight uphill, try Jesus. Even though you're low and sad, and the world should call you bad, there is joy that can be had. Try Jesus. Amen. Amen. Jesus is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You so much for the privilege to know You. Help us, Lord, to magnify You more this week. Help us to enlarge your name in this world this week. Help us to praise you more than we do this week. And to talk to you more than we do this week. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Before we dismiss this morning, as our pianist plays a verse of invitation, I just wonder, this morning, is there anyone here that hasn't made that great decision yet of trying Jesus? He stands at the door of your heart. He wants to come in. He wants to be your Lord and Savior. Simply call upon His name, even now where you're sitting. He will come in. You have to believe in the faithfulness of God that He will do what He has promised. And that will take away all the doubts that you have if you're saved or not. You're saved because of the faithfulness of God and the faithfulness of God's Word. Then you begin to walk with Him and learn about Him. Follow His leading. First of all, follow Him in baptism. Don't be ashamed of Him or His words. Make it public. Father, thank you for your love for us. Bless this time that remains in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, please. 559 in our hymn books. We'll sing the first and last verses. Our invitation is open if you'd like to come for any reason or any purpose. If you'd like to join by baptism or letter from a life, church, or faith and practice, or a statement of faith, let me know. We can take care of that this morning. Let's all sing 559. If you are tired of the load of your sin, praise Him more. Let's endeavor to magnify His name more in our life. Let's endeavor to spread the good news of His love to all those around us. Hope to see you back this evening. We have our evening service at 6 p.m. Been good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I'm going to ask Bob Merkovic, would you dismiss our service in prayer, please? Bob? Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. homes.
Thank you.
Thank you. be right back. I gotta go get something to eat.
You haven't had anything?
No.
Then you go to church and it's dirty.
Yeah. I need to get something down, I'll get something to go. Yes, sir.
It's not much of a lunch.
No, I don't know.
Where's everybody?
Hey Louise.
I said to John, where's everyone? Yes.
What was that?
I said to John, where is everyone? I don't know. I said, that's a good answer.
Well, my guess is you're 15 minutes early.
15?
I'll do my best.
Okay. To be my best.